Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
To praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
One who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust.
The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you.
We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Well, hi, family. I'm happy to be with you so close to Christmas. You know, we usually had this week off, but I'm very happy. Last night we had the children's show, and I enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed it. Tonight, I'm going to need your help, though, because my bronchitis getting much better, but not wholly well. So I want you to call and tell me, what are you going to give Jesus for Christmas? You know, on the children's show, I said, you know, we give gifts to everybody on Christmas, everyone we love or know. And we do that in imitation of the Father who gave us Jesus. So I said to my little boy, I said, let's pretend it's your birthday. And I give a gift to her. Would that be right? He said, oh, no. I said, well, that's what we do with Jesus. Today, or yesterday, I got a gift from someone. The Lord's, to be exactly, Bob and Penny, something I wanted for a long time. It's called El Santo Niño de Atocha. Well, here he is. Isn't he cute? Huh? He's got a little feather in his hat. Let me tell you about him. Please don't ask for one. Because this one came from Mexico, and I don't have the slightest idea where. So don't write and say, can I have one of those statues? Well, I don't have any. This is a little basket, supposed to have bread in it. This is the water jug. In Spain, years and years, a couple centuries ago, there was a statue of the Bambino in the arms of Our Lady, called Our Lady of Atocha. Well, one morning, they found that his sandals were dirty. And they thought, now how did that happen? So they took the sandals off, and he was all dressed up in clothes. That's what they do in some of the European countries. And they took his little shoes off and sandals, and they washed him up, put him back. Well, the next morning, his feet were dirty, and the hem of his garment was all muddy. So that happened night after night. Well, the sexton decided he was going to find out who was doing this to the Bambino. So he put all the lights out, and he just sat there and waited, ready to grab the one who was doing all this damage. Suddenly, he saw the Bambino leave Our Lady's arms, and he had a basket in his hand full of bread. And he had a jug of water. This is a mystery? No, we haven't talked about mysteries. I'm talking about a reality. Now, what happened was the soldiers in those days, men who were in prison, were not fed by the city. Their family, and mostly children, had to go and feed them. So what happened? Well, those who didn't have family, those who didn't have children, were not fed. So El Nino would go every night and feed the prisoners who didn't have anything. Now you say, oh, I can just hear my liberal friends out there in the audience. I don't know why you listen anyway, but since you do. Whoop, there it goes, just by worrying about his basket. They say, there she goes with that pietistic stuff. Well, let me tell you about that. It's because our children have lost the reality of the tiny Jesus, that they don't relate. See, when a child sees this God reduced himself to this, for him, he understands. For those of you that are not Catholic, can you say, ah, there they go, worshiping plaster? No, it's not plaster. No more than the statue of, we worship the statue of Lincoln. That's a pretty big one. Washington, Robert E. Lee. Do we worship them? No. What are they? This little fellow is a reminder, and the little baby in the crib is a reminder to you and I of the power and the love of Jesus. Huh? The love of Jesus. Before we go on to say and ask you, what are you going to give Jesus for Christmas? Let's go back a few centuries, 1900 of them, and look at the world. It was cruel. People had really no value only in as much as what they could produce. There was terrible, terrible immorality, dishonesty, and cruelty everywhere. Jesus was prophesied, the coming of the Messiah was prophesied by prophet after prophet, Isaiah especially, saying that the Father would send a Redeemer. Are there any of you here that would question that we need a Redeemer today? Conditions were worse then than they are now, although you have a hard time figuring out how they could be worse than they are now. But there wasn't that love for God, because God was so far away. He was one who had to be pacified. So awesome was he, and he is, that they would hardly say his name. Wow. The curtain that separated the middle of the temple was so thick. It was the width of a man's hand. They didn't have a personal relationship with God. If you're good, God will bless you. If you're not good, he will not bless you. And proof of God's favor was many children and wealth, peace, whatever. Well, the Jesus of the Messiah, Jesus, was prophesied for centuries. And they were looking for. Now, when the wise men went to Herod and said, where is he? And he said, who? She said, the newborn king. Oh, what happened to him? Scared to death. He brings in the scribes and he says, tell me, is there a king that is to be born? He said, yes, the Messiah. Where? They said, Bethlehem. Do you realize that these men knew exactly where he would be born? was prophesied that men would come from the east to worship. When the wise men left, they did nothing. They didn't believe the prophecies. They studied and studied and studied for centuries. Isn't it strange that you and I, who know the scriptures, I hope you do, and know the prophecies in the scriptures, we still may miss the second coming. Everybody missed the first coming, except some shepherds who were told from the angels, the wise men who followed a star. Why was it that there he was and they never knew it? Is it possible that you and I could be seeing him every day? Yeah, we do, in our neighbor. Is it possible that we who have the Eucharist, that wonderful body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus passing by, and say, there is no room for you in my inn? I don't believe you're there. Is it possible? Oh, yes. And that is the problem today. There is no room for him today, no more than there was in his day. There are shepherds around, a lot of them, the faithful. There are some wise men. But what do you believe? And if you believe that infant was Son of God, and he was, and is, what are you going to do for him for Christmas? It is his birthday, you know. I never saw anybody who had a birthday and was ignored by so many people. You break your neck buying gifts, and the next day, most everybody you bought the gift for returns it. Doesn't fit. For whatever reason, I wouldn't go in a store the day after Christmas if you gave me $1 million. Well, maybe $1 million. But you see, we do work hard to please people. But do you remember whose birthday it is? What are you going to give to Jesus and to his mother? How many of you wives have ever given a present? Oh, this is going to knock you cold. To your mother-in-law on your husband's birthday. Ooh, boy, I mean, this is one big fat zero tonight, huh? Do you ever think about it? Do you ever want to think about it? No, no, no. How many of you have given a gift to your mother on your birthday? Wouldn't that be something? But don't you think you should? Have you ever thought about it? Have you even said, Mom, thanks a lot? I'm grateful. See? So, while we're thanking our dear Lord for coming so small, let's thank his mother, who said, yes, Lord, and did not fail in faith even when her divine son had to be born in a stable. Most of you were either born in a nice warm house or in some hospital. Well, the Son of God was born in a stable. Some of you have big crosses, you do. What are you going to give Jesus for Christmas? We have a call. Hello?
Hello?
Where are you from?
Oklahoma.
And what are you going to give?
Well, Mother, my husband and I are converts, and we were confirmed 2 years ago, and you were a big part of that for us, and we thank you for it.
Thank you, Jesus.
God blessed us with two healthy, beautiful sons, and before we became Catholic, I had my tubes tied for all the wrong worldly reasons. And after a lot of prayer and thought, 4 weeks ago, we found a wonderful Catholic doctor who untied my tubes, and so hopefully this year, our gift to Jesus is that we're open to life again.
Praise Jesus. That's wonderful. Isn't that something, huh? Would you ever think that's possible? It is, all of you that are sorry you did it. Try again. You know, we don't know. If we don't understand what the Father or who the Father gave us or who his mother was, we're not going to be grateful. If you don't understand what a sinner you are, you need salvation. I need salvation. He came and saved us and gave us all the grace for us, for you and I to cooperate. Say yes to every day. We got to say yes, 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 yes. Who was the call? Hello?
Hello. My name is Joan, and I work with the hearing impaired.
Uh-huh.
And I felt that the Holy Spirit calls me so deeply, but I don't know how to discern what I'm supposed to do.
What do you think he calls you to?
I've felt calling to prayer for the ministry of the deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for those in need. And what is so awesome and what I found in this ministry is the rewarding touch of the Lord. And my discernment, I just feel like I need more leadership.
Do you belong to a prayer group?
No, I don't.
Do you have friends that can pray with you?
Yes, I do.
Well, I think that's a beginning. If we pray together, our dear Lord promised he'd be in our midst where two or three gathered. And if you want to know what he wants you to do, just ask. He'll tell you. See, there's a value of giving. I think you're doing well in praying for others. That's intercessory prayer. We need to pray for the faithful in the church. We need to pray for our priests and bishops and cardinals and the Holy Father. We need to pray for all those who believe in Jesus, for all Christians. We need to pray for atheists, agnostics, and those who have lost their faith, for those who try to destroy Jesus and destroy the church and destroy our faith and destroy your faith, those who want to rob us of everything we hold dear. We need to pray for them. That can be a beautiful gift for Jesus on his birthday. We have another call. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, where are you from?
I'm calling from Houma, Louisiana.
And what are you going to give the Lord?
Well, I have a 14-year-old son. And for a long time, I've been asking him to go to adoration with me.
Good.
And he wouldn't go. Mm. So I asked him what he was going to give Jesus for his birthday. And he said, well, I don't know. What can you give Jesus for his birthday? So I said, well, what about adoration? I said, why don't you give him a week of adoration, 1 hour a day for a week? And he did. So hopefully, you know, he might start going to adoration more often.
You know, that's wonderful, because sometimes we don't think the best gift I can give somebody is just go and see him, talk to him. I went to a I went to a nursing home one time years ago. And I saw this elderly woman sitting in a chair near a window, all by herself. And I went up to her and I said, hi. She said, hello. I said, where are you from? And she told me, and I said, you look so sad.
guess, she said, I have 9 children, and not one comes to see me. I said, oh, how sad. I said, Christmas is around the corner, maybe they will. She said, no, they won't. I've had many Christmases here. None of them have come. You see, all she didn't want a gift. She didn't want presents, she didn't want flowers, she didn't want candy. She just wanted you. Just you, your children, her children. And sometimes I think we don't realize that we ourselves can be a gift to someone. Maybe you need to go to a nursing home. Be a son or a daughter to someone whose children no longer care. They don't want any other gift or present. All they want is you. Try it. You'll be bringing Jesus to them in a new way. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica?
Yeah, where are you from?
My name is Tim. I'm calling from Clinton Township, Michigan. How are you tonight?
And I'm fine. And what are you going to give?
Well, Mother, I've been planning to give our Lord the same present for the last 17 years. I want to be a religious brother.
Good.
And I'm called to evangelization. So one community I am checking into is the community of brothers in your community.
Come on down.
And I look forward to meeting you someday. I watch you every morning on church.
Well, wonderful. That's a great gift.
Pardon me, sister?
Do you feel called?
Mother, I've been called since I was 15 years old. It's a matter of time
what
before
took
the
you
good
so
Lord
long?
Finds me the community.
What took you so long?
Well, I've always heard that I shouldn't wait till I'm in my early 30s, enjoy a good secular life, but wait till there was an age of maturity.
I don't know. I had some second graders last night that were pretty immature.
I did watch them.
I tell you. But, I think that's a mistake, you know.
Well,
I'm not against dedicating your old bones to God, but
I
think you ought to go when the Lord calls, see? You need to go when the Lord calls. I wouldn't waste much time. I don't think there's time to waste, you see, because if the Lord says come, you need to go. So for whatever reason you waited, I wouldn't wait any longer. You know, we need to be careful that the Lord described a few people. He said, come follow me. And he said one had just bought a cow. He had to test it, an ox. I suppose there's a difference. Huh? And so he wouldn't go. Then somebody else said, well, my father died, so I got to bury him. And the Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. Whoa. Hey, comes some poor guy just got married. Now, I want to know who here is going to blame him for not going. Ain't nobody. You don't understand the whole thing. Nobody does. And the Lord said, come follow me. Now, here were three legitimate reasons. When the Lord calls, you have to go. See? No matter what. Why? Well, if he calls, he called the rich young man and he had too much. He wasn't going to give it away. They said, where is it now? You know, we don't even know who the poor guy was now. All his money's gone, his name is gone. Not a trace of the poor man. You need to go when the Lord calls because you don't know what's hitched on to all that. If you still feel called, I would do what the Lord is telling you to go and hunt. Number one, to be sure you do have a vocation. He should not wait for you. When he calls, we must go. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica.
Yeah, where are you from?
This is Jane from Louisiana.
What are you going to give the Lord?
I am going to give him 12 extra visits.
Good.
To the Eucharist in reparation for the 12 apostles who did not pray for him.
Oh, and the Agony of the Garden.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. I had decorated my tree. I went shopping for a baby Jesus and put him right in the middle of the tree.
And that's wonderful.
With the angels, and it was not enough. That was showing my faith. Now I want to live it.
You want to what?
I want to live it.
Yes.
Yes. Have a holy Christmas.
That's a very good gift to Jesus, is to want to live the gospel. See, you got to keep Jesus in Christmas. When you eat those hams and turkeys and piggies and all the other stuff you eat. I went somewhere for Christmas, they had a little pig, but this big, they called it a pig out, and I said, a pig out, whoa. Best thing I ever tasted. But you need to know that you're celebrating his birthday. Most people argue, you know, newlyweds, I feel so sorry, they don't know whose house to go to, you know. You come to my mother's house. No, you're coming to my mother's house. We'll go to your mother in the morning and my mother in the afternoon. What a way to celebrate Christmas. You know, we argue, we fuss, we fume, we don't like the turkey, the gravy's too salty. My mother never did know how to make a pumpkin pie. It looks like a truck ran over it. Well, spoon it. Who cares if a truck ran over it? You know, she did her best. We just fuss over the craziest things. You know, we lost. We've lost. The late shoppers get me. They get me, by golly. If I had a store, I'd wait for them all to close it. I think if you hadn't had the guts, the money, or the strength to do something beforehand, why are you going at 11 o'clock Christmas Eve? Well, I'm busy. Yeah, the whole world is busy. Why you got to go 11 o'clock Christmas Eve and bother everybody up? See, think ahead, but whose birthday is it? You know, our politicians today, well, God help us all. They have trees that look like they belong in concentration camps. They have everything on it but the Lord. And the reason they're there is not to celebrate Christmas, not to celebrate the Christ child's birthday. It's just some kind of pagan holiday. One thing you could do is put Jesus in Christmas. It's his day, it's not your day. Why don't you go? My mother used to do this on Christmas. She lived right across the street from St. Peter's, and she would go and spend 3 hours with the Lord. There was nobody around. Nobody. Beautiful tree, beautiful crib, beautiful flowers, and not a soul. After you've had your dinner, instead of going to sleep, like most people do, so they can get up and eat a bigger supper. You ever notice everybody says around the middle of dinner, oh, I'll never eat again. Then they go for the pie. Oh, I'll never eat again. And then they go for another piece of pie. Oh, I'll never eat again. And there they are, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and they're still eating and they'll never eat again. So what do? They go to sleep. And what happens at 6 o'clock, they start again. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you sang happy birthday to Jesus at dinner or lunch or whatever you call it, and then went to visit him? Wouldn't that be wonderful, huh? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Put a little gift in the crib. Now that would be Christmas, see? We have another call. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, where are you from?
Hillendale.
How old are you? Huh?
What?
How old are you?
5.
And what are you going to give Jesus?
What?
What are you going to give Jesus for Christmas? What's your question? Do you have a question?
Yeah.
What is it?
Was Jesus born in a stable or a cave?
Was what?
Was Jesus born in a stable or a cave?
It's the same thing, sweetheart. Sometimes a stable looks like a barn. But many times a stable in the days our Lord was born was a cave. Mm-hmm. And it the animals went in there because it got cold at night. And there was hay and everything to keep them warm where they were out of the wind. Today we have stables that look like very beautiful barns. But in those days where they kept most of the time, oh, they had corrals and they had a lot of things. But it was a cave. There were animals there. There were troughs there, it looked like a crib. And there was hay. The important thing is not a place. The important thing about our dear Lord's birth is his total humility and absolute poverty. Everything he gave was a gift from him. We gave him nothing. See? What proves the absolute purity of God's love for me and for you is that he was born and we gave him nothing. You know, he didn't come to receive. He came to give. And he gave himself totally. Because he had nothing that the world holds dear. No fine clothes, no warm house. He came to give his total self in utter poverty and humility. One day when you and I get to heaven, we will realize what he did, really did for us. We will understand. So please, don't worry about stables or cribs. Worry about that utter poverty and humility in which Our Lady bore a son. And his name was Jesus, Son of the Most High God. We have a call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Hi. Where are you from?
I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan.
And what is your gift to the Lord?
Well, Mother, thanks to our Lord, I'm in a beautiful relationship now with a wonderful lady. And my gift to Jesus this Christmas is not only myself, but it's going to be this marriage that I'm getting into with her. Because I believe that he, for some reason, he brought her into my life, and I thank him every day for it. And we're going to midnight mass at her parents' parish, and I intend to write out a little thank you note and put it in the creche after mass.
Wonderful. Keep your eyes on the Lord. See, that's a nice gift to Jesus. Say, Jesus, this coming year, I thank you for the gift you have given me. And in every part of my life, I want to thank you. Whether it's pain or sorrow or joy or disappointment, I want to thank you, Lord. That's a wonderful gift to give to Jesus. I want to give you myself, Lord, by being a perfect Christian and not being ashamed to talk about you to everyone and anyone. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, hi.
Hi.
Good evening, Mother Angelica.
Where are you from?
I'm calling from Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Ah, and what is your gift?
My gift to the Lord is the joy in my heart when I carry my pains. I'm suffering from severe rheumatoid arthritis.
Ah, yeah.
And I'm permanently handicapped.
Yeah.
And I am housebound. I stay home all the time, except on Friday night when my husband brings me to church, and on Sunday when my husband brings me to church. My mother, who's 79 years old, takes care of me, and my gift to Jesus is the joy in bearing all these pains, because I know he loves me so much. And
yeah.
Mother Angelica, I love you.
Thank you.
I love EWTN. I love it because it keeps me alive. My heart is so full of joy this Christmas.
Yes, that's one of the things EWTN tries to do. Those that are homebound and suffering terminal diseases, the whole purpose is to bring Jesus to you and make you understand how much you are loved. See, when we look at Jesus on the cross, we have to know how much the Father loved him. And how much he loved the Father by saying yes. The yes of Jesus and the yes of Mary were painful. And sometimes our yes to God is also painful, and that's okay. And so I thank God also for your joy in suffering. It is such a witness. I thank God for your husband too, who takes such good care of you and your mother. God has really been good to you. Lord, we're going to unite our prayers for all those who are homebound and sick, the blind, those with cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, those who have any kind of terminal diseases, and those of you listening to me in a hospital room tonight, know that you're very, very special. We need to know that God loves us. We're going to say a prayer for one of the wives of one of our own employees who's prayed to death that she's going to have a miscarriage. And we're going to ask our Lord for all of you women out there who want children and want to bear children, that you have a very blessed pregnancy. So we're going to unite our prayers with your prayers and ask our dear Lord to bless you, bring to life, that you may have a beautiful child one day. Lord Jesus, we pray and bless you. We live in a mixed up world, Lord. There are many women who have children and they abort them. And we have so many, Lord, who want children and they have such a difficult time. We ask you to bless these women, Lord. Bless them all. And those who have had miscarriages, Lord, we just ask that they know and understand they did bear a child. That child is there, and that child is in heaven, and that child has seen God, even though their mother's eyes have never been laid upon them. But they are children, and they're your children. So, Lord, we ask that this mystery be accepted by all those who have lost their children, that they know they do have someone that belongs to them in the kingdom. Do we ask, Lord, that she may have peace of heart, and all of you who are afraid may have that peace that comes from total giving of our will to God's will. We have another call. Hello?
Hi. Mother Angelica?
Yeah, where are you from?
This is Michelle Simmons from Manchester, New Hampshire.
And what are you going to give Jesus?
Well, my husband and I, we have a six-year-old boy, and we wanted to teach him the true meaning of Christmas this year because he discovered that there was no Santa Claus, thank God. So what we did was, well, every night we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus, and we put a little box on our table, and we do things for each other. And every time that we do something for each other, we write it down on the slip, and we put it in the little box.
Great.
And Christmas Eve night, we're going to wrap it up and bring it to church and put it under the manger.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. I hope nobody opens the box and reads all the things you did. But I think it's a wonderful lot. We had in a novitiate that, I can't tell you how many years ago. We used to have a little empty crib. We put it there November 11th. And every time you perform some act of virtue, you put a straw in it. And I never saw anybody put them in, but they kept getting more straws every day. You know, I guess you kind of look around to be sure who's going to see you put that straw in. But those are wonderful things to do with children, because then they learn. You see, they learn devotion. They learn that they've got to give to Jesus as Jesus has given to them. Joe, if you haven't done anything like that this Christmas, I suggest whether you write a note and put it in a box, or whether you put a straw in a crib, do something to teach your children what Christmas means. We have another call. Hello?
Hi, sister.
Hi, where are you from?
I'm Nettie Kershaw. I'm from Jennings, Louisiana.
Oh, and what are you going to give to the Lord?
Well, I have four married children and one son left at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them this Christmas before. Now, it was something like a bribe, sister. I told them, I said, okay, I said, before we open any gifts, I said, I would like for us to kneel down and say the rosary. And they all agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved, and my grandchildren, I have nine, and I even got roses if they didn't bring any.
But that's a wonderful. See, these are all things that people can do to say the rosary before you open your gifts. Well, some of you know what's in that box. You've got the same box every year. Men get lots of ties and sweaters, and women get, I don't know what women get, but there's just so many things you can buy somebody, you know? But the thing is that we're going to do something for him whose birthday we celebrate before we start ripping over those packages. And that's what we all want to do. We have another call. Hello?
Mother Angelica?
Yeah, where are you from?
Ohio.
And what is your gift to the Lord?
I'm going to spend more time with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament.
Wonderful.
And also attend Mass through the week more
mm-hmm.
often.
Mm-hmm.
Mother, also, I have to be thankful for my dad who's going to be with us for Christmas this year. He was in a bad car accident. His car was totaled, and he had his nephew with him, which he's only 4 years old. And I was called to the hospital, and my dad had a broken collarbone and a broken hand. And when they was, he's all right and everything, but I noticed when I went into the emergency room to see him, he was wearing his brown scapular.
Yeah, praise God.
And my nephew, he was, you know, there was nothing wrong with him. So we are so thankful that we have my father and our nephew.
That's wonderful. And try to be faithful to what you're promising, Lord. It's a wonderful promise. Did I talk to you about the woman in the convalescent home? That's all he wants. So many of our priests and religious don't even believe in the real presence anymore. What a heartache, huh? For God to become man was a gift that we would have never dreamed of, let alone that he reduces himself even more and humbles himself even more by coming to us as our food. How unbelievable. And yet we never even think of visiting him. It seems like in some parishes they want to get him as far away from his house as possible. And none of you men would tolerate that if your children came in and said, okay, look, You've been good? Woof. You know, we'll build you a little shack next to the kitchen there, and you stay there. The house is ours. I mean, you wouldn't even think of doing such a thing. You see? But we're doing this to Jesus everywhere. Everywhere. We hide him, we put him in closets, we put him outside. It's just like we don't even want him to have his own temple. If you want to give a gift to Jesus, I would suggest, even if you say, once a week I'm going to make a visit to my church, I'm going to sit there and keep him company. I'm going to genuflect before I receive Jesus in the Eucharist. If you can't genuflect, bow. Why? Acknowledge his presence. I'm going to kneel for the consecration. Why? Because that great miracle comes where Jesus, Son of God, comes down into bread and wine, and that's transformed into the body and blood of Jesus. Huh? I'm going to love his mother this year. I'm going to say a rosary once a day or even once a week. We owe the Lord our life, our gifts, our talent, our jobs, everything we do, we owe to Jesus. Everything comes from Jesus, from the Father to Jesus. We owe Our Lady so much for saying yes, for being at the cross, for being a comfort to him. We are the ones who crucified him, and she comforted him. She gave him strength. She gave him herself. She suffered every pain he suffered, huh? You can't go through your whole life and ignore that kind of love. You can't. You can't. So, we have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica.
Yeah, where are you from?
Virginia.
And what are you going to give to Jesus?
Well, I just wanted to say that Jesus has given my husband and I three wonderful children.
Praise God.
And they're all grown. And 2 years ago, one of our children was killed.
Oh.
And his name was Timothy. And so for Timothy, since I'm a preschool teacher, I have been able to generate support for four families, needy preschool families in our community, for food and for gifts for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents, the children will never know that it came from outside. That
praise God.
This will be coming from their parents. And we do that for Jesus and in memory of our child. And I just want to personally thank you for doing so much for uniting Orthodox beliefs from all religions. You just do such a wonderful service. I'm an Anglican.
Well, praise God.
But you have done so much to advise me as to my background, and I love you very much.
Thank you. We have to, that would be a nice thing to give, a basket of food to a needy family, a toy. The Father gave Jesus to us. We give something to Jesus, and we say at least, thank you, Father, for giving us, for giving me your son. We have another call. Hello?
Hi, Mother Angelica.
Hi. Where are you from?
From New Jersey.
And what is your gift?
My wife and I, despite my wife being 40 years old and the possibility of having a Down syndrome child, just decided to choose life.
Wonderful.
And the 15th of December, my wife gave birth to a baby girl.
Wonderful.
8 pounds, 15 ounces. And we've consecrated the baby to the Blessed Virgin, and we freely give the child to the Lord.
That's wonderful. What a wonderful, beautiful gift to say yes to Jesus and yes to this child. Well, what do you know? We're about through for this evening. I've enjoyed being with you again. Please visit Jesus And be sure you tell him you're going to be good next year. I love you, and I will see you on next year. Bye now.